Mark, the 16th chapter. Continuation of what I read to you earlier. I read to you the 12th and 13th verse of the 16th chapter. Now go on with the 14th verse. Down through the end of the chapter. 14th. That's Mark, 16th chapter, 14th. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
You've all got it. Amen. Okay. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your encouragement that you will be with us, O Father, that if we would just depend upon you, you'll take care of us, Lord. You will give us what we need. And we're asking this morning, Lord, that you would deliver the word. Lord, that it would accomplish here this morning that which you would have for us. Lord, for we're so empty, we're so needy, and we ask you, Lord, just to take us and use us in his name. Amen. As I read to you earlier, the two that were on the road to Emmaus, you know the story well, as Christ appeared to them, and they didn't know who he was, he appeared in a form that they did not recognize until he was at their home eating with them. Then they became aware of who he was. And after they found out who he was, they got all excited about it because he had told them before, but they didn't quite understand, that he would be risen after he was dead. And they did not quite understand that. But anyhow, after they had this confirmed that this was Jesus Christ, the one that had been crucified, that they could not keep it to themselves. Although they had walked some distance, I think it was probably a Sabbath day journey, whatever that is, 12 miles or 6 miles, or anyhow, it was down the road piece. But they had went quite a ways to their home. And when they discovered that this was Jesus Christ, and he immediately disappeared from them, then they went right back to Jerusalem to spread the word that Jesus Christ is alive. And that is the word today that we all need to spread all over this whole world, is Jesus Christ is alive. Do you believe it?
Amen.
If he lives within you and I. And we are his legs, we are his mouth, we are his workers, that we deliver that word that Jesus is alive. What's your sign say out in the front?
Jesus is alive.
Huh?
Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive. Praise God, he is alive. They brought the message back to the other disciples, and they did not believe it. Well,
It sounds a little like us, though, when we tell people that Jesus Christ is alive and he's here to help, he's here to take care of us, of all of our needs, if we just allow it to happen. When we say this, don't believe us. No. Well, I wonder why people don't respond to my preaching, to your witnessing, to your invitations to church, to all of this and that and the other thing that we do in the name of Jesus. I wonder why people don't respond. Are they so tied up and so deceived by Satan that they can't see it? Or do they look upon you and me just as they would anybody else that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Are we really convincing that Jesus Christ is alive? Does it show in our lives, in our daily walk, in our preaching and our teachings and all of the things that we do? Do they really see Jesus Christ? Or do they look upon us like, I know you from way back. I hear you on Sunday, but I see you on Monday morning. I see the thing you do and this, that, and the other thing. Oh, yeah. I seen you when you done this or you done that, or you cut somebody short, or you laid somebody out here or there, and you ran that red light and you mocked at the people and all this, that, and the other thing. And when come time to, you see what I'm saying? They look upon us probably just as the world. They don't see. What does the scripture say? What did the scripture just say to you that he began to upbraid them? In other words, he was telling them of their doubts, of their failures to believe because of unbelief. And he gave them instructions. He said, he began to upbraid them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Now we wouldn't have that, children. Because they believe not. But what was his instructions? He said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Lord, we'll preach the gospel to the church.
Yeah,
to our friends, you know, to our little clique here. We'll do that, yeah, because they won't eat us up. They won't come after us, you know, and pick us apart. I ain't going down there in that neighborhood because there's hoodlums and bums and people down there. You ain't safe there. So, Lord says it, that I'm not going to go and preach to every creature. Woo-wee! That kind of puts us on the spot, though. Now, I'll go from the pulpit, Lord. Yes, sir, I'll do it on Sunday morning. But these people here, they, well, some of them like me. But I ain't going out there in that world, no way. You ain't going to see me out there helping somebody out or picking up. Better go on the internet this morning. See if I had any real drastic messages or anything coming back. Right on that internet, it showed a homeless man that had went to the aid of a woman who was being attacked on the street. In helping her out, that whoever it was doing the attacking, stabbing. And he fell down and laid on the curb right there where he had helped her. I don't know where she went.
security camera up there.
But it showed people walking by and looking at him laying there and went right on by. For an hour, he laid there, bled to death. He died. So you see, folks, where do we as Christians draw a line? Okay, I'll be a Christian, I'll do good work, I'll have nice dinners downstairs in the basement, and we'll invite everybody in, have a really good time. Fellowship will be great. But it goes a lot farther than that. There's people out there in this world crying today for help. Crying out for help. And what do we do? Say, ain't that terrible? Ain't it awful? They live in a life like that. Maybe slept under a bridge last night. I don't know. He said, go and preach to every Christian, everyone, those that need it. Folks, I hate to say this. You all aren't the need. You don't have any. You know. Everyone in this house knows Jesus Christ. Well, you either know him or you know I'll be. Ooh, wee. Now that's getting right down there. Hallway. So many, many people know of Jesus Christ. They know of him. He's a good man, yes. They know. But to really know Jesus Christ as our Savior deep down within us, ain't going to say more. He said, go preach all to all the creatures. Well, done that, haven't we? Yeah, pretty much so. Okay. But what is the... I get it wrong. Maybe I shouldn't read that. Maybe I shouldn't read this part out. Maybe we should just take that part out. 17th verse. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Wow. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Whoa. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they, you're going too far. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Wow. The signs that's supposed to follow we Christians? It says, it doesn't say preachers there, doesn't it? No, that's it. It says, and these signs shall follow them that are preachers. Them that believe. All believers. Are all believers qualified to do the things that he said, to speak to the devils and they have to flee?
Yes.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Speak. Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. That's Pentecost. That's that whole rule of us. We don't believe that, do we? Speaking in tongues? No. No, that's not for us. And they shall take up serpents. Hey, yeah, we'll get some rattlesnakes and we'll play with them. We'll get a big box up here and we'll put a bunch of snakes in. Y'all can come around and pick you out one you like and play with a little rock and put it back in the box. Well, let me go with you. Don't do that. And if they eat, drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. We'll mix this up a potion of poison, strychnine, and we'll try it out and give everybody a little sip of it and see what happens. Okay? That's what we're going to do. We're going to start. We're going to start all this procedure real quick around here. Is that all right, y'all? Let me go get here. It shall not hurt me. And shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Wow. You know, those things that were just mentioned there and all took place, they've all been done. Remember, he's talking about the hand snake. Paul, when he was on that aisle, he reached down and he picked up some firewood, and one of them old ladders nailed him, and he came out with that thing hanging on his arms, and they all stood around watching. He thought he was going to fall over dead. Didn't harm him. Now these folks down there in the southern part of the state, and I guess they're still doing it, I don't know, they haven't been for years, they get these snakes in there and start handling. Let me tell you, they're tempting God. If we're out here someplace and we accidentally get bit by a rattler snake, I have no doubt that God can take care of it. But he doesn't tell you to go out there and hunt them snakes down and pick them up and play with them around your neck and fool all that. That is tempting God. No. No way do we tempt God. If you drink it, yes. You tell these folks out there that are playing around with this sort of speaking in tongues. I mentioned it to you. The people that are played with this thing forever, speaking in tongues, have made a I don't know what out of it. I had a thought, well, I'm going to tell you this. Maybe I shouldn't. I'm going to tell you. I was in a meeting one night. We were sweeping. Who are you looking like? You said, don't do that, preacher. We was in a meeting one night, revival meeting, and it was at Pentecostal church. I forget the name of it now. We sang, had a good, everything's going just fine. People just seemed to be thoroughly enjoying our type of thing. We had a quartet in. It was really having a good time, and went on and on. And the preacher done a real good job of it. He was a good friend of mine. Done a fine job of it. But then after the service was over, and we had seen some people come to the altar. And I heard someone say, maybe him, I don't know who he was, but they was talking about receiving the speaking in tongues. Yeah. And he said, just wipe your mind completely clear of everything in there, and just forget all everything that you know. Just put it out of your mind and just allow this thing to come into you. Man, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. The Bible tells me that the house was swept and garnished. It was swept clean. And devils came in, multiplied into an empty house. You empty your house out, you forget all that you've ever been taught about God. You clear your mind of what this preacher has told you, or another one down the way that he come back with the gospel. You clear your mind of it, and Satan will move right in. I don't care if you're bound at this altar or anyone in the country. If you clear your mind and allow the devil, he will move in. Right here in this church. He will do it. Folks, the word of God is the rule. Not what some maniac might tell you. He might tell you to pick up that snake and he ain't going to harm you. Look at their hands and look at their arms and look at how many bites they've had and the scars and all this. God's trying to tell them something. Yeah, he says it'll follow you. Right. He goes on. He said that if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. McGee, J. Vernon McGee, in his writing, he had a pretty good answer for that. He said, when these people talked about this and lay a whole denomination on any one of those subjects, they pick out one little
subject in the Bible and then make a church out of it, you know. He said, when they say this to you, he said, make them up a nice cocktail of strychnine and have them drink it. He said, I guarantee you, there's not one will do it. They won't do it. They won't do it because they have. They know that it's not right. You're tempting God. But he said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. Probably there's not a one of us in here in this room today that hasn't at one time or another took on and by mouth something that would kill us. We have. Whatever it might be. And God took care of us. Because we did not know what we were doing. We were not tempting God. Yes. We were not tempting God. We never drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us, I believe. Yep. Well, then he gets down there and he says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What? Yeah, we're getting pretty down to where we really are. We're getting down there pretty close to the gift of healing. It is a subject that has been played with just as much as that speaking in tongues. It's something that has been claimed by so many people. And let me tell you one thing right now. There definitely is a healing gift that comes from God, not from any man. If any man tells you he has the power to heal you just by touching you, forget it. Don't let him touch you. Don't let him touch you. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we shall be healed. When we gather at our altar here, and you will from time to time, and if you have a need, today is the day for healing. It certainly is. But we will absolutely join together our spirits, hand in hand, making contact each and every one of us, if you believe. If you don't believe, don't do it. Stay away from it. But if you believe that Jesus Christ has healing power for this day, then when we call, let's just, and first of all, it doesn't say, preacher, you have to pick out this fellow here because he needs a healing. It doesn't say that. It says in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, anyone you sick, let him call the elder. Praying over them, anointing them with oil. Yes, you see? There's a difference. There's a difference between someone standing up there proclaiming the healing power or someone by faith believing in the congregation saying, I need a healing. Then it works. Huh? Yes. These things that, have you seen these things happen? Very possibly you have seen everything that's mentioned there, you have seen it happen. You have seen these things come to pass that we were just speaking of there. Well, maybe not exactly as it's written literally. We have seen healings in this church as I've been here. We have seen folks that have been torn apart one with another, arguing, fussing back and forth, this, that, and the other. We have seen that heal completely. It's gone. All the differences, you know, it's a healing. We have seen it happen. There's been poison in this church since I've been here. Yes, there has. You might not have drank it, but it's been dished out. You know, the most poisonous thing in the world is this old tub. It can kill you. It can. And when we start speaking evil one of another, it's just like poison in the church. But God,
and he Satan gets a hold of you, you can be a deadly serpent. I didn't hear any amen on that.
Unfortunately, that's true.
If we allow Satan to get a hold of us, deadly poisons. Today, you look around and you see drug addicts, those innocently gets snagged up by these things that will overtake them and they'll kill you. We know this. The end is death. It's long, it's slow, and there's a lot of problems that goes with it that affects everybody. But it will kill you. So you see, folks, when he's talking about these things that follow after believers, those things that proves that you know these things happen, it's not the preacher doing it. It's Jesus Christ through you and I. We have the power that is written right there. We have this power right within us. And we know it. But so often, we shy away instead of hitting it head on. And if we shy away and say, well, I don't believe I know it. Someone comes to you and says they need this and they need that, fine and dandy. Then you what the next thing you would probably say is, well, we'll call for you. You don't know what to do. Preachers don't know any more about it than you do, folks. But Jesus Christ will lead us in any situation, I don't care what it is. When someone needs help and he calls on you, you are the one to give them help. As you can. But then carry it on and bring it to the church. As we've heard, witnessed time and again, those that have called upon individuals here because they trusted, they believed. They knew that there was something within this church, the power. Let me tell you folks something. Praise God, there is power in this church.
Amen.
There is power in this church.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ is here. He is alive and he is here. All we have to do is just say, thank you, God, for sending Jesus to take care of the need. Yes, the people around and about are crying out for help. We have it. All we have to do is make that connection. And you know, one of my thoughts that I continually go back to is, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to bring people into allow them to be healed, to be saved, to live a the good life. I don't know how to do that. And I keep praying constantly, Lord, show us how we can bring people's in. Not for our benefit, but for theirs. And I keep thinking this thought. One day, and this life's all over. And it's over for me. If I make it, if I make it, he's going to look at me and he's going to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. One of the first questions I'm going to have to ask is, Lord, what was I doing wrong? What was I not doing? How could I? And he's going to
tell me it would have been so easy if I had just one? That's the prayer of the church. It would be so easy for us to get this message out if we would just. Pray much that He will show us how we can be that lighthouse that He wants for the East Hartsburg Baptist Church. Lord, we thank You. We pray You. God, You have been so good to us. You have blessed us, God, with all that we've asked. And Lord, we just pray that somehow, some way, Lord, that You'll continue to lead us and guide us and show us how that we can help these ones, O Lord, that are crying out, that are so needful. But let us be prepared, Lord, to, when we're called upon, that we can deliver. Not by any power.